Our story continues in John 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Then he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Any theoretical physicists in the room today? A theoretical physicist is kind of the top of the scientific food chain. They are the ones who have the luxury of working with science that has no application. You know, it's not like you work for a drug company and you're trying to beat cancer. It's not like you're an astronomer and you're trying to get the next space shuttle to Jupiter. You are just looking at things theoretically. You're just musing about the mysteries of the universe. Well, there's a gentleman by the name of Werner Heisenberg who is kind of the giant of the field. And I open with a quote from him. "The first gulp from the glass of science will turn you into an atheist. But at the bottom of the glass, you'll find God is waiting for you." See, I think what we get caught up in is that doubt is bad. Doubt is not positive, but to doubt is human. They say to err is human, which may be true too, but to doubt is human because your mind keeps working. And it keeps chasing questions. So I think the goal is, it's not that doubt is bad, it's that doubt is a bad place to stop. And we come to doubting Thomas. You see, the interesting thing is that Thomas doesn't say, "I didn't see it, so I'm never going to believe it." He said, if I can put my finger in his hands and touch his side, I will believe. So Jesus says, well, if that's what you need, heck with you. Oh, no. No, actually, he comes in and he says, come here. Touch my hand. Put your hand at my side. If that's what you need, I'll meet you where you are. That is God. God meets you where you are. But you have to be honest about where you are. You got to lay it out there. Because I think sometimes this is misread. It says, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen it and yet come to believe. And we see that as an admonishment toward Thomas, saying, if you just buck up, you could have done it without this. But I think it's more an admonition that everybody isn't going to be able to touch Jesus. And blessed are those who've seen it, and yet come to believe, have not seen and yet come to believe. And it brings me back to that illustration I've used before of the never-ending story. Have you heard that? It's a movie about a book. And as they're reading the book, they start to realize that the people in the book are referring to the boy who's reading the book. He's going, but that's impossible. But by the end of the book, he realizes it's not impossible. It's happening. And he is in the story. Folks, you're in the story. Did you hear it right there? Blessed are those who've not seen and yet believe. Unless you stuck your finger in Jesus' hands and put your hand on his side. If you believe, that's you right there in the story. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I'm going to test your trivia powers. Does anybody know what the motto of the state of Missouri is? The Show Me State. I always thought it was stupid that they didn't put Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum in Missouri. I mean, if you're going to make a point, that should have been it, but I won't see it till I believe it. Starting in Chicago in 1933, Ripley began to gather things that were so amazing that you had to see them to believe it or not. Seeing is believing. See, there is a relationship between commitment and doubt. And it's not necessarily antagonistic. Commitment is healthiest when it's in spite of doubt, not ignoring doubt. See, I think that is where the problem comes. If you ignore doubt and you don't address it, it kind of eats away at the edges. It kind of makes you a little shaky. Eli Wessel was asked to describe his faith, and he used the adjective, I have a wounded faith. My tradition teaches that no heart is as whole as a broken one that is then healed. And I would say that no faith is as solid as a wounded faith. See, my faith is not something that is without challenge. My Hosanna was born in a furnace of doubt. Can you see that? In a furnace of doubt. If you've ever worked with metals, you know that that's how you forge metal. It's how you purify metal. It's how you set a strong edge. If you don't get it hot enough, the edge isn't strong enough. It has to be forged in order to be strong. If you avoid the doubts, you don't come to faith. Allowing the doubts to stay unchallenged causes doubt to win. I am amazed at how often this happens because they seem to be smart people. But if you go back over time, you can find all sorts of books that talk about someone who knew that Jesus couldn't possibly be who he said he was, and they set out to prove it. There's one More Than a Carpenter by Josh Stout, I think it is. Josh McDowell, that's correct. See, that's why I keep her around. And a thousand other reasons. The second one came very strongly. Lee Strobel was an agnostic reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. He was a Harvard-trained lawyer and journalist. And he set out to make a case on Easter Sunday that Christianity was a farce. He ended up with one of the best-selling books of his time called The Case for Christ. In trying to prove that it couldn't be true, he proved that it had to be true. Most recently, there's another man by the name of Eric Metastas. Very smart guy. I met at the Acton University in Grand Rapids a few years ago. And he wrote a book called Is Atheism Dead? And essentially what he does is he goes through a series of debates. He says, the interesting thing is as you look at what is going on, you can mathematically annotate it. He says, what are the chances that Jesus could have fulfilled all the things written in the Old Testament in the space of 30 years? Well, you start to look at these things and it's like 1 times 10 to the 32nd. Do you know what 1 in a million is? 1 times 10 to the 6th. And he says, well, let's take a look at the idea of random selection and evolution. He says it's a perfectly feasible situation. All you need is somewhere between 270 and 290 billion years. How old is the world? 13 billion years old. So, something doesn't add up, does it? If it takes 260 billion years to allow natural selection to create life, and there's only been 13 billion years, and we're here, there must have been something guiding that process to defy all those odds. It's almost like there's a divine creator who had a conclusion in mind. And if you embrace the doubt and you look at it, you realize that it's much easier to believe and understand that it's God's plan than it is anything else. But doubt can be strong. I want to close with a story about a little boy and his mom. I believe it comes from Tim Keller. It may come from his wife. I'm not sure. Little boy cried out over and over, "Mom, where are you?" He was walking back and forth to the front of the grocery store. People had shopping carts full of milk, bread, fruit, and household items, and were passing a frantic boy as they raced to wait in line for a checkout spot. The boy decided to stop looking and stop yelling and just look, so he went around to the front of each aisle, peering down, couldn't find her. He walked to the third aisle, wondered what would happen. He came just from the third aisle to the fourth aisle. That's where the fruit snacks are. He was looking at him, and then she was gone. He looked down the aisle. She wasn't there. "Mom, where are you?" Had she left him in the store all by himself? Had she decided he was too much trouble to feed? All he'd asked for was fruit snacks. She had left the store to head home and forgotten all about him. As he reached the next aisle, he found a man in a blue vest putting cans on a shelf. He walked up silently to the man, who obviously worked there. Who else would be putting cans on the shelf instead of taking them off? He says, I think my mom left me in the store and was abducted by aliens. Little boy said to the stacking wizard of aisle 5. The man looked down at the boy with his eye cocked, and the little boy started to cry. He says, now what makes you think that? Well, the boy said, I was looking at the fruit snacks and she was gone. I asked her if we could get some. She was just gone. The man got up ever so slowly with a slight grunt as he came to his feet and said, let's just see if we can find her. You won't find her. The aliens have got her. She's not anywhere. The man took the little boy and headed toward aisle 6 and aisle 7. There were like 20 aisles in the store. What makes you think your mom left without you? Because I don't see her. Has she ever accidentally left you anywhere before? Said the man. No. Has she ever been abducted by aliens before? Not that I know of. Why would you doubt her now? Let's just find her. After a while, they went to a man who had a radio the size of a dictionary attached to his belt. And the announcement came over the store. Boy lost, aisle 10. Just as the announcement was blasting over the store, announcing to the world that his mom had left him to be fended off by aliens with nothing but a box of fruit snacks, his mother appeared with a full cart round the corner of aisle 15. His baby sister was bouncing up and down, and she was in a totally different outfit than she had been when they entered the store. Mom, the little boy cried and sprinted to meet his mom. Mom, I thought you left without me. I thought the aliens got you. Honey, I asked you to follow me to the bathroom so I could change your sister. I thought you heard me. But as I changed her, I looked around and I didn't see you. I went to the fruit aisle snack thinking that's where you would be. His mom smiled. See, said the man with the blue vest. There was no reason to doubt. She was here all the time. Honey, I've never left you anywhere, have I? The mother said. No. Well, then I hope you learned something about me today, Mom said as she looked down at her now non-frantic son. His mom thanked the man in the blue vest as he began to walk away. The tall man with the mustache and the radio got some thanks from her, too. And the little boy said, so, Mom, can we get some fruit snacks? Why would you doubt her now? That's the question. You see, one of the interesting things about this story of doubting Thomas is he completes the story. Remember how I tell you, John begins with, in the beginning was the Word, and it mirrors Genesis, in the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the first person to tell that Jesus is God? Not the Christ. My Lord and my God. It's believing Thomas that completes the story, that brings it full circle and calls the Word God as it was in the beginning. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, we admit that every person here has had doubts. Help us to understand that doubt isn't something to be ashamed of. It's something to be challenged. It's something to be brought out into the light of day to be seen for what it is. A momentary distraction from the truth that is. Help us to put ourselves in the place of believing Thomas, who as he touches the Lord's hand and puts his hand on his side, reveals the truth that all of us live in, that you truly are our Lord and our God. Amen.